Welcome to the Unblocking Crypto Podcast. This podcast is not financial advice. It's meant for entertainment purposes only. These are just the opinions of a couple of rambling wrecks.
Welcome back to Unblocking Crypto, episode 155. Hal, it's a new administration at this point, so I guess the change has happened for crypto at this point.
Yeah, I mean, everything's moving forward. Inauguration day done. And so we'll see how we'll see what we get.
Well, right before, we got a new all-time high with Bitcoin, hit 109K. So that's pretty exciting. If you look at the Coinbase app, they jumped up to like number 21 on Apple. The crazy part is one of the meme coin launchpad, Moonshot, is that like one of the number 7 free apps. So it's still everybody's doing meme coins and not so much everything else, but I guess it's a start.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like a bull run. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom and check my phone, and Bitcoin's at $108,900. I'm like, well, I'm probably not going to go back to sleep for a while. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, that every bull run has those moments where you're like, oh, what's next? Are we going to go up to 120, or are we going to go down to 100? And like, whenever Bitcoin hits a price it's never hit before, I'm like, all right, let's see who's going to not sell and see how high this thing goes. So I ended up staying awake for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. And it was one of those kind of price jumped up and then retraced and normal stuff. But yeah, man, bull runs are weird.
That they are. So, I mean, now that Trump's in power, let's talk a little bit about some of the promises that he made. One, that he was going to fire Gary Gensler on day one. Luckily, Gary decided to resign on day one. So the big question now that we're kind of wondering what's going to happen is, are all the crypto related suits that the SEC has, are they going to be frozen or what? Right before Gary left, he got the SEC to appeal the XRP lawsuit, which the Ripple's chief legal officer pretty much called it a failed argument or already failed argument. So it's amazing that he's trying to put stuff in at the last minute, but that's almost been what this entire administration has been doing in the past handful of weeks, is trying to do a bunch of things last minute.
Oh yeah. I probably don't even have everything down in my notes on the last 2 weeks and what all went down. But on the Gensler side, Mark Ueda got named acting chairman, which is super good for Bitcoin and crypto. I think we mentioned that last week. So we're in good shape there. You got, in the last 2 weeks, 69,000 Silk Road Bitcoin has been approved for sale, which has been under in the courts for a long time, and it just so happened to resolve itself right before this. And then 94,000 Bitfinex are now approved to be returned to Bitfinex after the Bitfinex hack. So coincidentally, we've had 200,000 Bitcoin in government control for years. And in a wild political coincidence, about 150,000 of those are free to go in the week before Trump takes over, after making the claim that he's going to have a Bitcoin stockpile base with the Bitcoin that's been controlled by the U.S. government. So like little coinky dink on that, kind of like a hostage situation that's gone on for 18 months, and that got resolved in the last minute. Like, well, that timing's everything.
Well, so yeah, some of this is over a decade old, and it's literally happening right before. Like, it's just, very crazy.
It's just games, man. It's just political games. So we're doing this on Tuesday morning after yesterday was inauguration day. So I'm a sucker for these days. Like, and once every 4 years, I have no problem paying a lot of attention to inauguration. I like pomp and circumstance. Like, I grew up, all my grandparents are military, and so I kind of dig it. And so I watched, I didn't watch everything start to finish, but I had spent 4 hours in the car yesterday, so I had plenty of time to listen and watch the actual inauguration and the speech. So his inauguration speech, it was very unlike the ones I hear normally. It was more like a punch list of all the things they're going to do, none of which really talked even about innovation in general, as a tip of the cap to the tech guys that are on, that have kind of jumped on board here recently. I mean, so I didn't expect to hear Bitcoin or crypto in his speech.
I think he talked about landing on Mars.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And Musk was pretty excited about that.
Yes. But so we haven't talked about it much, but like Silicon Valley has really started to flip Republican because the Democrats really shut down a lot of the private equity stuff. But like the unrealized gains talk is a killer for that entire tech industry, because
yeah,
that's how it works. I mean, you have seed rounds and round A's, B and C. And if you tax unrealized gains, then startups are dead. So it's really kind of opened the eyes of those guys. So anyway, Trump had that inauguration speech, and then he went and addressed a crowd and could go into a little more detail and talk for another. Both of these speeches, his first two speeches were both 30 minutes long. Nothing on crypto, Bitcoin. And then he spoke in the Capital One Arena, no Bitcoin or crypto talk. And then he signed live in front of a Capital One Arena crowd, like the first seven executive orders, and threw pins into the crowd like he was taking his basketball shoes off after the game and giving them to kids in the crowd. It's crazy, man. Whether you like it or not, that's a kind of a awesomely wild thing to do. And none of those were crypto related. And then while I was watching the national championship game last night, I was kind of refreshing the whitehouse.gov site to see what executive orders were going to get signed. So 46 executive orders got signed last night, or in total on inauguration day. I don't know if inauguration day is day one or day zero, but I know that he had like something like 200 executive orders to sign, and he signed 46. So there's still 150 or so executive orders that were on his desk on day one to sign. So whether it's Bitcoin strategy, repealing the SAB 120, you know, any of the things that were crypto Twitter or Bitcoin Twitter was going nuts about, you know, why didn't they pardon Ross Ulbricht on, you know, immediately. And, you know, there were pardons for the January 6th people and not Ross Ulbricht. And to me, I'm like, there's nothing to get upset about here. I mean, if there's anything Bitcoin's taught me, it's like to chill out and wait. I'm sure it's a big deal. I've seen him multiple times, multiple posts from people like his mom on Twitter that he's going to get pardoned. I bet he does. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the background politically and legally and all this stuff. So, or maybe he got to 46 of them and Ross Ulbricht's pardon's 47. Like, it's just, inauguration day is a crazy day, man. They like get up and have tea. Then they have breakfast with people. Then they go and they do their speech, and it's like slow and boring. This guy did three speeches, signed some EOs, went to the Oval Office, signed 40 more, then put on a tux and went to three different balls. I mean, it's a long day for a dude who's like 78 or whatever. So I'm not sweating this. I think we're still good. I think there's some wild stuff going on. Like one of the executive orders was to rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, and that one got through in the top 46. So like
what?
I mean, just hang on, dude. This is a wild ride. Like Bitcoin's wildness is spreading, and it's going to be political for the next 4 years. So anyway, I'm not sweating it. I think all of the moves. I listened to the Bessent confirmation hearing. He didn't talk about Bitcoin or crypto. He wasn't asked about Bitcoin or crypto. And Elizabeth Warren's in there and everybody else. So it's like there's still bigger fish to fry. I think that Bitcoin and crypto gets thrown the bones that they were promised. And it's if it's not today, it's tomorrow. Like I'm just zero sweat here. So, yeah, in the binary decision making between Trump and Harris, we're on the good side, even if it comes with its own brand of craziness.
Yeah, I think the one thing I guess two things that I saw about the Trump administration is, one, he had like three foreign leaders in attendance, which is the first time a foreign leader's ever been in attendance for the inauguration. And then he also revoked like 78 of the Biden era executive orders.
that was executive order one.
Okay.
To revoke seven of the Biden era executive orders.
Yeah. All right. So the other, I mean, we talked a little bit about Bitcoin strategic reserve, or we touched on it, but one of the things that I did see, because there's been a lot of talk about that, is that Trump has mentioned that he's also interested in having other U.S. cryptos be a part of that strategic reserve. So I know there's possibly about 3/4 of the Bitcoin that the U.S. holds about to be sold at some point in the future, but Solana, XRP, and USDC were all listed as possible US-based cryptos. What's interesting is CoinMarketCap just released the made in the US list for different tokens. Cardano is on that, which is great. It's having a, kind of a good little bull market going on right now. The one that's not on there is Ethereum, which is kind of interesting. So, and then I think Polymarket is putting it at a, I think they put it on a, at a 55% chance that Trump uses an executive order to make the strategic Bitcoin reserve happen in the first 100 days. So the, on day one, it was a, went from like a 50% chance to a 37% chance. And I don't think the 37% chance hit. So
No, it definitely didn't. And that's, like I said, it's fine with me. I'm kind of going back and forth on like the executive order versus trying to get it through Congress when you not only do you have a Republican Congress that's going to kind of follow your lead, you've got a lot of Democrats that are pro crypto and pro Bitcoin. So I think that I'd like to see that. I do feel like we're watching the normal progression of like someone's introduced into crypto and Bitcoin. And then they go on the exchange and they're like, oh, look at all these other ones. Like, yeah. I'll do 90% Bitcoin. I'll just kind of, I'll throw some chips on the table on these other ones. I've heard of these or whatever. And so I think we're just kind of watching it happen. Like, you know, it happens to people. As a, I guess, I mean, I'm assuming it'll happen to corporations. I mean, MicroStrategy is kind of doing their best to put a blueprint together so that doesn't happen. But I think that governments are going to do the same thing. Bhutan added stuff that was non-Bitcoin to their balance sheet. And so, yeah, I don't get mad about this stuff. It's a tuition payment. You learn this stuff's kind of junky and maybe does well, maybe doesn't. So I think it's dumb, but I was dumb too. And that's why I still hold some of these crypto tokens in my wallets.
Well, I mean, we made the lottery legal and everybody still plays the lottery. So at this point, yeah, I think if you're keeping 90% in Bitcoin and gambling somewhat with the rest of it, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a necessary thing. You know, you got to pay that tuition payment to learn. If you don't, then you, like, I know what happens. When I would buy something and it wouldn't go up, I was no big deal because it was a gamble. When I didn't buy something and it did went up, I would be ticked off. Like, so yeah, I get it. I'm not, none of this crap bothers me, man. I don't know if I've just been in this game long enough and it, so it's not a big deal. I mean, this isn't the block size wars where it's like, oh crap, is Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin going to be the one that actually succeeds? That was a huge, weird thing. This is like, are we going to get a strategic Bitcoin stockpile or are we going to get a Bitcoin strategic reserve for the US government? Like, okay, well, heads we win, tails we win. I mean, I can't get upset about it. Like, you know, all these other things we've seen have been pretty wild. And the fact that, like, yeah, okay, Bitcoin's definitely not going to go to zero. Highly doubtful that it ever sees on anything in the 40s. Like, you know, I'm getting more comfortable that we're not going to go into the 60s or 70s. Yeah, that's a good place to be. Whether we got to wait a week before we get more good news. I mean, it's a bull run, man. This thing doesn't go straight up. You don't get good news every day with no bad news or no news. It's chill out, relax, like watch the grass grow, do something else.
Well, I mean, I think there's still a lot of good news. I mean, we've talked about some of the states trying to do their own Bitcoin reserves. Wyoming just introduced their strategic Bitcoin reserve bill. Wyoming's been one of those states that's been kind of in the lead from a crypto adoption perspective. What's interesting is they're going to limit it at 3% of their budgets to buy, whereas a lot of other states we've seen have gone up to 10%, which Massachusetts is also one that just announced they're looking into it up to 10%. And Massachusetts is probably the first real deep blue state. And it's also the home to Elizabeth Warren, who has had kind of an anti-crypto army. So this is really exciting to see Massachusetts for this to happen in her backyard. And it would be amazing if it does get through in Massachusetts for sure.
Oh, yeah. I had Utah and Arizona to add to that list, too. So, oh, wow. Yeah, they're both of them. You know, these are all proposed state legislation pieces. So it's, you know, these we talk about it, but I mean, we're up to 11 total, if I am counting right. And with this gradually then suddenly or S-curve kind of adoption thing, 11 out of 50 is getting us into like, okay, it's going to be 40 out of 50 real quick. You know, especially if you see some more Bitcoin and crypto friendly things coming from the federal level. So yeah, man, the starter pistol has been fired and not everybody's heard it yet. That's it.
No, it's definitely coming. What's interesting too, speaking of Wyoming, Cynthia Lummis has come out and accused the FDIC of crypto oversight misconduct. So I don't know if you heard much about this, but apparently there were some whistleblowers inside the FDIC that alleged that the agency destroyed a bunch of materials related to its crypto-related operations and then threatened their employees to silence them. Which, if that's true, and this kind of all relates to the...
0.2.0.
Yes, thank you, Choke 0.2.0. So it's going to be wild to see what comes out of this, right? And if the FDIC actually gets...
If there's an investigation and people are held accountable for something, I'm not holding my breath for that. I did see that there was a rash of FDIC resignations that they speculate are based around this 2.0, choke point 2.0 cover up. I don't anticipate any federal government's employees ever getting in trouble for anything ever. And so I don't think there will actually be anything like that, but I do think it'll just be, we're going to turn the page. What's done is done. And what we're going to do going forward. Da, 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 da. And so it lets their, you know, swampy buddies off the hook and they just kind of go on to go from the FDIC to go work at banks or be a lobbyist or whatever and make a bunch of money. Like, that's just the way it works. It's one of the prices you pay to live in the best country in the history of the world. And some people get away with bad things. And so you just try to do your best. And that's my opinion on how Choke Point 2.0 disappears, is that they kind of change it and forget that all this other stuff happened.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the benefit of all this is that it's being talked about and hopefully it won't happen ever again. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is it's being talked about, but only people like you and me are hearing it. Like 0.1% of the, not even 0.01% of the population even gives a half a crap about it. And nobody in Washington probably cares either, outside of people that are super close. It's fine. Whatever. Whenever you clear a hurdle, you know, you don't look back and you're like, oh man, look at that hurdle. Like, man, you got another hurdle in front of you. You got to get over it. So to me, get through this, move on. I think that the faster that they can roll this stuff out, the better. I do feel like the outgoing administration is just putting hurdles in front of the new administration. Janet Yellen came out and said that extraordinary measures have to start on January 21st, which is another political coincidence. That the first full day in office, the debt ceilings destroyed and extraordinary measures. I think that means they stop paying intergovernment dues. Like if one government owes another department money, they just put it on a tab. They keep a tab running, like the stuff like that. So yeah, you know, hey, here's the country. You have no money, no credit. Figure it out.
We've let it fall apart for the past 4 years, and now we have to do some crazy things to fix it. Great.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, we kept sweeping everything under the rug, and we just stopped sweeping. So good luck.
So the other kind of cool thing that I did see, Coinbase just partnered with Morpho to offer some Bitcoin-backed loans. So if you want to give Coinbase your Bitcoin, you can then get a loan based, I think, on USDC. In return. But I mean, that's exciting to see that happening. We've talked about this being a possibility in the future, theoretically doing that. Now all of a sudden you can take a loan against your Bitcoin and not have to pay taxes on it rather than sell it. So that will be amazing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you look back, Michael Saylor got in trouble on a podcast for talking about getting yield on his Bitcoin, projecting into the future that banks would be interested in holding Bitcoin and as over collateralized loans, and you could kind of get some yield on instead of just holding it. And you know, to me, Coinbase doing this, you know, it's a wrapped Bitcoin product, so you know, you've got several things that have to go right for this not to fail. One, the wrapped Bitcoin has to be backed one-to-one with actual Bitcoin. Two, Coinbase can't rehypothecate your Bitcoin into other stuff because that's the SBF, BlockFi, House of Cards, Three Arrows Capital that collapses. You know, speaking of more things that were more frightening than, did we get a big strategic Bitcoin reserve today or is it going to be later? You know, when everything, when that House of Cards collapsed and everything was going insane and people were just losing their entire crypto wallets in a day, that was a bigger deal than, oh, he didn't sign an EO today, mate. He's still got 150 left. So I can't imagine people getting that upset about this. Anyway, so for me, this is just another piece of the puzzle. I think, again, no big deal. We're moving forward.
The other thing that Coinbase came out with was some of their goals for their base network, which is their layer two on Ethereum. And they expect by the end of this year to have $100 billion of on-chain assets, which they're at 3.8 million today. So that's pretty big growth this year. From an average daily user's perspective, they want to be at 25 million and they're at 1.27 million. So they are expecting,
I like that,
2025 to be huge for them. And if that's the case, I mean, I think that'll be awesome. But you're talking about 20x and more for their growth, which is kind of insane.
Well, if you're going to grow and you're going to have that many active users, you're going to need to have Bitcoin. And so how can you get people to keep Bitcoin with you instead of putting it in their hardware wallets? Give them a yield opportunity so that you can hold on to their Bitcoin so that it can be traded around. So yeah, I mean, maybe that's a part of it. Maybe they're realizing, okay, hey, we're going to try to 20x our daily users. We want to have more assets in custody. And in order to do that, we need to give people a reason to keep their Bitcoin with us. So maybe that's all connected. I don't know.
I love their long-term vision was to bring 1 billion people on chain, which I think will be great. I mean, that's, we've been talking about trying to get to that from a crypto perspective for a while. And I think as a whole, we're getting very close to that. Just from Base doing that alone would be even more amazing.
Yeah. If Coinbase does that, that's a great sign for the whole industry. I mean, to me, the Coinbase is step number one. Like if ETFs are step zero, right? You're not stepping into crypto world by buying ETFs. You're letting BlackRock or Fidelity or Bitwise bridge the gap between your US dollars and Bitcoin or crypto. But Coinbase is like the first step in the shallow end of Bitcoin and crypto. And so if they're doing that, that means that a lot of people are taking that step into the pool instead of just sitting in the on the recliners letting institutions do the swimming. So I that would be neat to see. Also, I own a little bit of Coinbase, so that would also be neat to see.
So speaking of Coinbase and Bitcoin, we haven't really talked about MicroStrategy yet, and this may be the first week that they haven't bought any Bitcoin in this past week, which is kind of crazy.
You didn't see this morning's announcement where MicroStrategy bought 11,000 Bitcoin today.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry. They announced they bought it. It must have something to do with regulations or something because, you know, yesterday the markets were closed and they didn't announce it. And they always, this was 11 weeks in a row, they announced on a Monday. I don't recall any other Mondays being bank holidays. So they announced it this morning. So they're up to 461,000 Bitcoin. And their average price on this 11,000 was 101,000. Dude still buys, but yeah, man, you must have not woken up and immediately scrolled through Twitter.
Yeah, well, so what I did actually read is they did announce that they're adding a fourth way to acquire Bitcoin, and that's through perpetual stock offerings. Have you seen that?
I have seen that, and I haven't heard an explanation that has made it make sense to me. Like, I've never heard of perpetual stock. So I
did a little bit of research. So they're looking to add about $2 billion. Whether they do that in one or multiple offerings is still to be determined. But a perpetual preferred stock offering typically has no fixed maturity date, and then it continues indefinitely, and then unless the company chooses to redeem it or put a maturity date on it. So the shareholders of the stock receive actually fixed dividend payments, but they have no voting rights. So what's interesting about all this is that they are paid before the common stockholders, but after the debt holders. And it's, so it's almost like an indefinite call option is the way that I would look at it, in addition to a lump sum principal payment. So they expect mid single digit yield with very low volatility and no options market, which is kind of the opposite to a convertible bond. So big institutions like pension funds and banks would be very excited about this because they receive a stable and fixed dividend payment. So this could kind of unlock even more inflows for MicroStrategy if this goes well.
I'm telling you, man, the stuff he's doing, like, he has completely transformed in from a IT company into figuring out ways to get more money into Bitcoin. Like, I mean, if you look at all the different avenues that are out there to get retail money into Bitcoin, institutional money into Bitcoin, government money into Bitcoin, everything, he's like the only avenue in a couple ways. Now, Marathon and stuff have opened up the convertible notes, but like, I've never heard of a perpetual preferred stock before. Not that I'm a giant stock trader, you know, I'm not, but I am deeper into this than 90 something percent of the population. And I mean, a lot of people have no idea what the convertible notes are. I've listened to a lot of people that are like, you know, oh, this market can't be very deep. You know, this isn't going to last long. And then I hear people that know their stuff talk about how many trillions of dollars could be available to it and how many hundreds of billions of dollars are available today. I don't know anything about it, but I will tell you this. There's a lot of people and a lot of institutions that like dividends or that like cash flow to come out of their investments instead of just relying on the appreciation. So guys like me, I'm trying to figure out ways to replace rental properties that I'm selling in it because I use the cash flow from those rental properties to fund my lifestyle. And there's, I mean, you've got MicroStrategy and then there's an MSTY stock, which is an ETF that uses futures, that uses contract options and a bunch of other financial pathways in order to generate yield. And so you don't have the upside, you have the downside, but you also have an incredible monthly dividend that ever since MicroStrategy gone crazy and the volatility's up, you know, it's been almost 10% per month. So, oh yeah. Now that might not hold up. It might crash. Like, I don't know, but you're like, okay, well I'm selling a few duplexes. I need to replace a couple $1,000s a month in rental income. So if I put $20,000 or $30,000 into MSTY and things continue to go the way they're going for 6 or 8 months, then I'm covered, but I've got a bunch of cash left over to buy MicroStrategy or Bitcoin or whatever else, because yeah, I'm fully in that this is going to be a bull run. So I might as well deploy cash, you know, as much as possible, but I still have to pay for stuff. My kids still go to school. I have a house and cars and, you know, all these things. So I need to spend money in order to kind of rock along in the fiat world. So what they're able to do by, you know, he says volatility is vitality, and I'm starting to get it. Like, everybody can build so much on MicroStrategy because the stock price varies so much, and this perpetual preferred stock, you know, he sees opportunities, and then I assume he just asks the right people, hey, what can we do to do this in a way that doesn't damage the brand or, you know, whatever. And so here's another one I've never heard of. I mean, I need to figure it out, because if I'm going to deploy money, if it has upside with a dividend, then I'm interested. I mean, the other thing you can do is just buy MicroStrategy and sell covered calls that are way out of the money. I mean, it's not hard to replace rental income with a covered call strategy with MicroStrategy. I mean, you can do it like with a delta of 0.1 or so or less every month. So yeah, if you do get called away, that stinks. You're missing some upside on MicroStrategy. But honestly, if you want to avoid the wash sale issue, instead of jumping right back into MicroStrategy, just put it in MSTY for 31 days, collect a 10% dividend, and then dump it back into MicroStrategy after that. I mean, there's so many games to play, and Michael Saylor's just trucking along, creating all of these games. So it's pretty slick.
It kind of reminds me the book that we wrote a long time ago on blocking crypto, that image we put in there of how big the derivative market is compared to everything else. Like this is exactly that, right? I mean, if you have the volatility, you can create all these different derivatives, and the derivatives are a huge multiplier. It's not like a 1x or a 2x. It's like a 50x multiplier from what the actual assets are, which is just kind of crazy and somewhat hard to understand unless you see it almost in a picture perspective.
Yeah, no, it's let's go. I mean, you're any other business that's trucking along, that's we're growing at 7%. Great. You're break even with inflation. You know, some people are going to realize this and they're going to think, okay, well, we may need to get off of this inflation train. And how do you do that? Well, we can reinvent the entire business, or we can add Bitcoin to the balance sheet and increase our volatility and increase our derivatives market and attract more funds into our stock in order to drive up our multiple. This to me is, it's going to pick up steam. So, you know, again, I don't need it to happen on day one. Like, honestly, if it all happens at once, the volatility is going to go insane and it's going to drive people away. So it has to happen slowly, because if too many people jump in, then other people get scared.
Well, it's been one of those things where, I mean, I'm excited about the increase, but I've been wanting to accumulate at lower prices. It's kind of bittersweet for it to be going up.
Same.
So we talked at the end of the year, beginning of this year, about a lot more crypto-related ETFs coming. And VanEck just released a new one, or I think they're targeting a new one, that is going to target companies building infrastructure for digital assets. So it's kind of interesting, a little bit different than what everybody else has been doing with these more Bitcoin or based on different tokens. So 80% of all the assets will go towards digital transformation companies. And those companies will include crypto exchanges and payment gateways and mining operations and just other firms providing infrastructure services. So it's kind of an interesting way to get more involved in the picks and axes side of crypto, rather than just the gold and silver piece of it.
Yeah, I mean, it feels more bull runish when you start hearing about like all these things popping up. You know, you don't hear that much when the price is low and everything's kind of down.
Yeah, and then the other interesting thing, so eToro, which I'm sure most people have heard about by now, they are planning to go public, and they just settled with the SEC. They're expecting a $5 billion valuation. They currently manage just over $11 billion in assets. But, I mean, they're mostly a crypto company at this point, right? So it's just another company that we're going to add to the list here at the end of the year that is holding crypto probably on their balance sheets.
Yeah, I haven't heard of eToro in a while. So, again, I mean, everybody that's holding Bitcoin, their company's getting bigger. And they're not even having to do anything. And so I'll keep an eye on that.
So from a world perspective, what's interesting now that I saw was Malaysia is now back into the mix of talking about crypto and blockchain legislation. So they reached out to Abu Dhabi to understand how to do it. And if you look at their history, back in 2021, they told Binance to get out of their country. And in 2023, they told Dubai, however you say that, to do the same thing. So both of those, which are two of the probably top three or four largest exchanges in the world, were told to halt operations in their country. So, but they came out and said, we don't want to get left behind. So now we are getting back into the mix. And I mean, that's probably going to be the theme of 2025 for most countries, is we don't want to be left behind, because that's kind of what everybody's saying.
Yeah, and we don't want to be left behind is like government talk for FOMO.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it's legit, like what happens in bull runs. You get tired of watching other people get rich, and all you hear are those stories. And so that's going to be the same on the countryside.
And Thailand's doing the same thing. Thailand is now going to probably do a spot Bitcoin ETF, because they're SEC person over there came out and said, like it or not, we have to move along with more adoption of cryptocurrencies worldwide, right? I mean, it's the same message, and we're probably going to continue to hear that What's funny, at the same time, they're also looking to ban Polymarket because they're calling it illegal online gambling. They don't like what it enables. So
you got to pick and choose, man. Like these governments, like they can't give you everything. Like it's always a compromise.
No. And I wanted to throw out, I know you don't care nearly as much about this, but Ethereum did announce their next upgrade. So Petro, which is scheduled for March, and it's going to have several of their EIPs implemented, which is the Ethereum improvement proposals. And really most of this will be aimed at improving user experience and efficiency. So like increasing the max node for different validators and things like that, and just making it easier or hopefully harder to have phishing happen to you and stuff like that as well. So, I mean, it's good. It's not groundbreaking, but it'll make things better, which is definitely a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, if I was as into Ethereum as I am into Bitcoin, stuff like this would make me nervous. Like, oh, we're gonna make a major change. I hope it works. Like, oh crap.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's interesting is you're starting to see some big names on the Ethereum stuff. So like Sony just launched their Sonium, which is on the Ethereum network. They did it last week. It's still pretty secretive on kind of what the future looks like and what actually is going to be released on that. They do have some patents around some tracking in-game assets and some super fungible tokens, which is pretty much just a bundle of NFTs. So... but that's being launched on the Ethereum network. It's not being launched on anything else. And even there's a crypto gaming project, Rumble Kong League, which both Steph Curry and Paul George are backing it. It's actually switching from Avalanche to Ronin, which is an Ethereum L2. So, I mean, that's kind of a big deal to go away from Avalanche, which was being deemed this almost like a gaming blockchain, and moving back to Ethereum.
Yeah, that's interesting because I feel like gaming is the lowest hanging fruit of crypto to get into kind of real world stuff. But while we're talking about things being launched on Ethereum, Trump Coin was launched on Solana, and we managed to not talk about Trump Coin when we rushed into that. And I think we have to, because A, it's so stupid, and B, it destroyed my Twitter feed for 48 hours.
So it's funny, that was the next thing I had to talk about, actually. Good. So
let's get it over with. So dumb.
So it was created last Friday, right? It took one day to get to over $1 billion market cap. And then it was over 10 billion the next day. I want to say it was like close to 14 billion. Already in the top 20. What's crazy about this, I think over $200 million worth of funds around the same time went into World Liberty, which is another one of his projects, right? Mm-hmm. World Liberty swapped, I think, 10 million of wrapped Bitcoin for Ethereum as well, which is always interesting to see too when they're going away from Bitcoin into Ethereum. And wrapped Bitcoin is what Justin Sun is all about. And he's now, I guess he was one of the largest holders of World Liberty until this latest 200 million. So not really sure if that's some of Trump's profits that he was putting in there or what. What's interesting is 80% of the Trump meme coin is actually locked up for about up to 3 years and held by a handful of different Trump companies too. So it is wild that it happened. I guess what I did see is the unofficial Baron Trump meme coin rose to about 460 million market cap before it dropped 95%. So it is a meme coin. It could drop. Melina had hers that was doing better than the Trump coin at one point from a growth perspective, but they're starting to come back down. So yes, there was some hype, I think, all around his inauguration, but I would say be careful long-term being in any of these things.
Yes. I also just dumb. Like, you're about to be the president of the United States. Like, I did hear someone who is fairly connected talk about how David Sachs was unaware that they were going to launch this thing. So they launched it during the crypto ball. And David Sachs, who is the crypto and AI czar, didn't know that this was going to happen. So I don't like things like this. Like, if you want to be taken seriously, don't do things that are stupid.
Yeah.
This is stupid. I understand it's a meme coin. If you would have launched this 4 months ago, 5 months ago, as part of like, out of raise campaign funds and it's traceable and you and you did it in a way that made sense, I could see it. But like, it just feels like a real money grabby, opportunistic. I don't know. I don't care for it. So anyway, I feel like hopefully the hype, you know, meme coins are all about hype. That's the only thing that works. Dogecoin, all the dog coins, Shiba Inu, you know, it requires people talking about it and all that. And the thing with Trump is every day he gives you something else and something new to talk about. And then the previous day you forget about because today's crazier than yesterday. So I don't see this thing being a big deal, but it was very annoying to have that happen and then not get any Bitcoin or crypto head nods on inauguration day or through the EOS. So whatever, man. These things don't shake me out.
Well, I mean, we know that Trump and Melina did not go on Solana and create their own meme coins, right? So,
No, this is like a licensing deal. This is like Trump. This is like all of the Trump things. Trump sneakers, Trump this, Trump that. This is what he does.
I mean, this, if you look at the guys who kind of started World Liberty, they have a sketchy background, and this seems like something that they were a part of and said, hey, let's do this. It'll maybe we can get some more money into World Liberty. It'll help us out there, right? So it's unfortunate that it happened, but it is what it is. I think most people just need to be made aware, be careful getting into this. I mean, it's not like you can't make money in meme coins, just very few people do.
Well, I mean, I was looking at it because I'm like, man, what, like, it kind of took off. I'm like, the only way I saw to buy it was because I was like, I looked at CoinMarketCap just to see kind of where it was falling and all these things. And it's not on any exchanges that I have any accounts on. And then you can go to a website. I was like, man, this is hard to buy. Like, so no, I don't think any new money was coming into it. I think it was pulling money out of crypto. Like all the altcoins went down. Bitcoin didn't really. And it went into Trump coin and then it kind of flowed back. Like I think it went up to like 70 or something and then dropped back down to 40. So it feels like just like, hey, do you crypto guys want to gamble? Here's something to gamble on.
Yeah, I mean, it did like a 400x in 3 days, right? And now it's coming back down. So, I mean, there is definitely a possibility to be made on make money on this, but you have to be catching it at the right time. And it jumped up so quickly that I don't know. My guess is if you own one of his NFTs, maybe you got a heads up on this. Maybe,
I don't think
but.
anybody got a heads up. I think it was I think holding 80% of the founders holding 80% of the token, I think is the heads up.
Well, I mean, they can't touch the 80% for a while, right? So it was just the 20%, which was still 200 million tokens available for trading. So I don't know. It's
Right, let's stop
crazy.
talking about
Yeah. It's stupid, but it is what it is. So the other thing about Bitcoin and I call it NFT-ish, Marathon actually mined the Trump 47 block, which I don't know if you saw this, but they put a visual marker on the Bitcoin blockchain to honor the first Bitcoin president of the US. So that was kind of cool to see. But it kind of, I mean, he says he's a Bitcoin president, but now he's doing his stuff on Solana. And I feel like he likes Ethereum more than Bitcoin, but we'll see.
I feel like this is a Mike Novogratz Luna tattoo. Like, I get it, but like, nothing's permanent with Trump. Like this could be a regrettable thing to do on the blockchain. I wouldn't. I whatever. Go for it. It's a signal for Bitcoin people. But until I see like until all of this stuff actually happens. I'm not putting his face on the Bitcoin Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed. I know it's day one-ish, day two, whatever you want to call it. Like, there's a long time for him to make some changes. There's probably a lot of changes that need to be made. I know crypto is definitely a priority for us. It might not be a priority for everybody else, but hopefully he gets to it sooner than later.
Yeah, I think there's just too many pro Bitcoin people that are heavily involved in the administration and on the cabinet. I'm not sweating it, and they seem to be doers. They're not there to just sit down and hold a chair to the ground and get a and collect a paycheck. A majority of them are have amassed generational wealth, like multi-generational wealth. So I don't think that they're like happy to just collect a paycheck. They're there to get some stuff done.
Well, what else did I miss?
some things that you would have absolutely no chance of knowing about. Number one, I went to a party in here in town, and I didn't have any cash, or I didn't have any small bills. And there was it was an open bar, so there was bartenders doing his thing, and yeah, I strike up a conversation with him when I'm getting a drink and all this. So, per usual, my wife's very social. We didn't leave early, so there's only a handful of people left while things are winding down, and we're close to the people that posted it. And so anyway, I'm end up chatting with the host and the bartender, and I was like, you know, he had a tip jar, and I was like, hey man, I don't have any small bills. I was like, you have Venmo or anything like that? And so my buddy was like, or Bitcoin. And I was like, oh yeah, if you're into Bitcoin, I'm gladly lightning over a tip. He's like, ah, no, I don't do that. You know, so anyway, I sent him money on Venmo, and I'm like, man, what a missed opportunity for this bartender to get tax-free Bitcoin. I mean, you know, $5 here, the end of the night, you can make some money in cash and some money in Bitcoin, and they automatically hold the Bitcoin. I mean, this would that. So anyway, I feel like that's a signal that we're still early. Like guys like that, that could be collecting, stacking sats through tips on the side. I don't know. I felt like it was a missed opportunity for that guy. So, but not everybody's into Bitcoin. I mean, you know, in a bull run, everybody's aware of it. Everybody's into it. And so we're not there yet.
It's still amazing to me how many people I talk to that don't understand it. And I mean, they really haven't taken any time to try to understand it, but they read what's in the news and they read about Trump meme coins and stuff like that, instead of actually looking into Bitcoin and understanding what's actually happening behind the scenes. That's really going to be transformational. So yeah, I think we are still early. There's still a long ways to go. There's still a lot of really smart people out there that haven't even looked into it. And so we're just getting started. That's exciting.
Oh yeah. I mean, my wife doesn't take time to understand it. She sent me a text that asked me if I saw the Trump meme coin and if we bought any. And I was like, man, I need to talk to you more often about this stuff. And then the final thing I had, man, I had a conversation with a guy in town on a little Bitcoin meetup get together thing. And he was telling me that he had a conversation with the president of a bank in town, like a small regional bank, that was interested in doing Bitcoin loans, like a multi-sig. I hold it. The lender holds a key, the borrower holds a key, and there's one key held in escrow. So two of three multi-sig, and they hold it. They, you know, you throw, just say, throw one Bitcoin in, get a 50% loan on it, and you can re-up it. You can, you know, change it, and then you get like either a week or a month. You're not liquidated instantly in the case of like a price drop, and you have the opportunity to, you know, to fund it or whatever. But whether it happens or not, okay, whether it's a good deal or whether it makes sense or whether it's going to be rehab, I don't care. We have a regional bank that I'm aware of that's open to it. That's a million miles away from where we were a few years ago. And so anyway, I, you know, if my small town's having that conversation, then you know it's happening elsewhere. So if, once that SAB 121 gets lifted, you might see some real stuff happen. Because it may be big banks are under this too. I mean, if you were a bank and you just are stale and old and all that, and you wanted to tap into something new, if you could just get everything ready to hold in custody Bitcoin so that people log into their account and see their savings account, their checking account, and then their savings in Bitcoin account, you could probably attract a lot of customers that way. And hold a lot of money. Now, are you going to be able to make money by moving it around? Maybe not, but it may help your stock price. It may, you know, there's benefits into holding a ton of assets. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, when you look back at history, the times where we've had the most growth, and not just the US, but other countries as well, has been when banking has been very decentralized and you've had a ton of really small banks. And so if you can get to this point where the small banks are allowed to do things like this and actually be able to hold crypto on their balance sheets, then yeah, I'm very optimistic about what the future could look like. And that would be great. That'd be better than just having MicroStrategy and Coinbase being the kind of the only two options. So they're huge out there, right? But you need everybody else being able to do this across the entire nation and world at the same time.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a couple of real world experiences from from small town. So I'm bull run still intact. Like, see what happens today. I think every day for the next few weeks is going to be pretty exciting.
Yep, exactly. I agree. Well, looking forward to talking next week, and we'll see what kind of craziness is going on in the world of crypto and everything else.
Sounds good, man.
See you.
All right, thanks.
If all of these crypto conversations leave you with more questions and you're looking for answers, I've created a product that dives into most of those answers, including why crypto, how to set up a cold wallet, and some of the more advanced strategies for dealing with crypto. Check the link in the notes below, and hope to see you there.